This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to the show, everyone. The first thing you're going to notice, for those of you that tune in every week, which is everybody and what everybody should be doing at this hour in your locale, you're going to recognize, hey, that's not Fred Penny. But that's not Fred's voice. Fred is on assignment. I'm Todd Kunin, one of the co-hosts here at Radio Law Talk. And seated to my right in the usual position of prominence is Denise L. Dirks. L not being any reference to Spanish. It's her middle initial. Denise, how are you this morning?
Astoria Key.
There you go. There you go.
See, on Jeopardy last night, one of the questions was, in the UN listing, which has a Spanish... And it was El Salvador. My wife and I were sitting here racking our brains. El La. And I think, and here we have Denise L. Dirks. I love it.
Yeah. I'm S-O-C-K-S. You learn to speak Spanish, spelling words in English. If you can spell socks, you can speak Spanish. S-O-C-K-S. Denise is looking at me right now. If this were live cast, if this were on YouTube, the look that I just got right now not unlike the look that I would get from my mother when I was a kid, when I would track dirt into the freshly cleaned house. really?
Which luckily you never did.
Oh, no. Actually, it was a situation like that where I learned I actually had a first name. Todd is not it. That melodic voice, the soothing voice that you hear that was not Denise and not me, is none other than our producer, Cal Hunter.
Hello.
And three-time Emmy Award winner, Cal Hunter.
No, nominee.
Nominee, yeah. Cal Hunter.
But to be nominated is a win, in a sense, really.
Exactly. Yes. What category?
Television News.
Television News.
Anchor production and overall show, yeah.
How long were you in the anchor business there, sir?
I started in Idaho Falls in 1982 and ended in Redding, California in 1997. So, wow.
Yeah.
I cut my chops. I paid my dues, and I was 1 6-month short of getting my 25th year Silver Circle if the Emmy Association. If you're in TV 25 years, then they give you a little Silver Circle award. I missed it by 6 months.
No, that would have been a 15-year
circle. I gave you the math wrong. I started actually in television in 1976 at KXLF in Butte, Montana. Went from there to Idaho Falls, then to Northern California. So I bopped around a little bit.
So, folks, we say all this so that you know it's not just a bunch of people with silly putty duct tape and baling wire putting this show together. Cal knows what he's doing.
I should by now, but I really don't.
Fred Penny, if you're listening, we miss you. Look forward to you being back next week on the show. We're here for 3 hours this lovely Saturday, or if you're listening to this on Tapecast, 3 hours wherever you're at. If not taking all 3 hours, be sure and pick us up on our podcast or go online and listen to us live at RadioLawTalk.com. You got to fish around a little bit, look for the Listen Live button, and then that'll take you there. And if you miss any of the show and like to catch it later, we do post a show from Saturday. We do it on Saturday. They're usually posted by the following Tuesday. You can listen to podcasts of all of our previous shows, and they're searchable. So if there's a topic you're looking for, you can go ahead and search through those. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today, don't we, Denise?
Yeah, I'm excited.
I mean, we got, Meghan Markle.
Right.
Is in. And now the nice thing about Meghan Markle stuff is people used to say, well, what are you covering that? She's over in England. Not anymore. So Meghan Markle, we've got stuff about the U.S. women's soccer team, which is kind of an update. It's one of those that we had covered before, but there's been an update in that case. Let's see, banks have been hit with lawsuit protection cases over. over the program loan fees. There's another one.
No, the payroll protection.
The payroll protection. There's another one that I sent out and that I'll touch on briefly. Some student in North Carolina has filed a class action lawsuit claiming that he's getting, the class of students is getting a diminished education because they're doing online distance learning as opposed to classes in person. That's an interesting one. That would fall for me in the category of, are you sure you want to do that?
Well, I'll tell you, as hard as teachers are working right now, I don't think you can fault the people on the educating end of things. It is an impossible lose-lose situation for teachers. I mean, they're staying at home, they're in their kitchen, they got the cat wandering by, they're trying to teach math, they're doing all of this stuff from home, most of them. I want to tip my hat to them. My daughter's a teacher. I've seen what she's gone through. It is tough. The education may be diminished, but who are you going to call on the carpet for that, the coronavirus?
Exactly. I think that's kind of crazy because when you stop and you look at online classes versus being in person, you pay more for online classes.
Yeah.
And look, it costs more to get your degree online.
And look, we will discuss that when the case comes up and stuff. But just as a teaser, that was kind of interesting. And one of my favorites we'll talk about, one of the shows that, if you haven't been able to guess, was probably a major contributor to my sense of humor and what I think is funny. There is a lawsuit involving The Simpsons. And, my appreciation for humor and classical music was originally shaped by the old Looney Tunes cartoons from the late 40s, early 50s that they played on Saturday mornings throughout the 70s, but also The Simpsons when that finally came around. However, Cal, if you are ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
If you're ready to get going, we're going to get to
play.
I'm ready.
Case.
Don't have to tell me twice.
Cal, you ready? Cal, are you ready?
Yeah, go. And now we go to New York City. The city's so nice, they had to name it twice. Yes, New York, New York. In New York, housing is at a premium, especially non-smoking housing. Because, you know, smoking is an annoying, filthy habit, and not everybody can put up with it. So there is a woman who lives in the Bronx who smokes like a chimney in a building, an entire building that has been designated non-smoking, a building very popular with medical professionals and what have you. When the people, landlord knocked on the door and said, "Madam, oh no, I don't smoke. No, that's just my cooking. I know I don't smoke. I promise you, I don't smoke." So bothersome, was this to the neighbors who have to breathe her smoke that they sought counsel. They said to this lawyer they spoke with, "The nose don't lie," and she's a smoker. And so I ask you, Todd, I think I'll start with you, just for fun.
No, it's not just for fun. It's because we made eye contact. That's why.
It happens every week.
Case. And I'm busy writing, looking down.
Next time I'll note to look at Denise first. So case, or no case, Mr. Kunin, you have 30 points, by the way. You're the leader. So.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, little known.
No, I'm sorry, I lied. You have 25 points. Denise is the leader with 30.
Denise is the leader with 30. I have 25. Okay.
Yeah.
Little known fact, the original version of There Was an Old Woman Who Lived in a Shoe was actually There Was an Old Woman Who Lived in the Bronx who liked to smoke and ruin her larynx. And I don't know. I could go on for hours with this one.
Oh,
but
I hope not.
yeah, but it's okay.
Yeah, but please, no. This is radio. Dials turning everywhere. All right. I will say that this is a case. I think that it is prominent enough and an issue that's out there. So I will say that this is a case. And the tenants who raise the issue prevail in some fashion, although I don't know what prevailing would necessarily mean. And I'm just going to make a command decision that Denise gets to wait until after the break to tell us what she thinks. How does that sound?
I'm okay with that. I get more time to think about.
Thinks about it. Then we get,
You just
gave her an advantage.
I did.
That's all right. So we'll finish. We'll conclude case or no case. And what else are we going to do when we come back?
Well, I think we can say call us at 855 Law Radio, 855-529-7234, or tweet us at Radio Law Talk.
And remember, folks, anything you hear on Radio Law Talk, it's not legal advice. If you have a real question, call a lawyer of your choosing, somebody preferably that you're paying.
We'll be right back. Hold on.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com. The cost of getting rid of garbage is high, and recycling products is lucrative. If you're a business or know of a business that needs an individual compactor or baler, call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. If you already have an industrial compactor, baler, or shredder and need service, don't forget to call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. Northwest Compacting, your full-service industrial compacting and baling company. Read more about them at northwestcompacting.com.
Concussion Medical Clinic knows active people run the risk of concussion. Soccer, football, even a simple fall can lead to a brain injury. Concussion Medical Clinic can test you before you start a sports program so they can have a baseline and more quickly diagnose a concussion should one occur. They also offer expert witness services if you're involved in a concussion case, and their specialty is the treatment of concussion. So if you have suffered a concussion and want the best concussion care available, give Concussion Medical Clinic a call. 916-259-4043. 916-259-4043. Concussion Medical Clinic.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
I'm going to Quick Quack Car Wash. Get my car washed, make it quick, quack, pretty, shiny, sexy, just because I want to. Don't drive dirty. Going to get my car suds in the Quick Quack Car Wash. It's the Quick Quack, quickest and the cleanest by far. We're talking 3 skinny minutes sitting right in your car wash, 100 feet of cloth, washing your car at the Quick Quack Car Wash. Any Honda, Mazda, Ford, or Chevy, Saab, or Cadillac, Quick Quack will spruce her up just like that. You'll be happy looking.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
Frederick Penny on assignment. It's Todd Kunin here. You know, I am so used to Fred being the one that brings us back, I forgot that he wasn't here, which is very hard to do. I mean, I don't want to say that Fred, you could easily miss him. But we are back in the middle of case or no case. Cal, why don't you get us caught up on the
Yeah, the premise is there's a no-smoking building in New York, and mostly doctors and nurses, you know, because they tell each other where there's housing available, right? And so... They all move in, and all of a sudden there's one lady's kitchen just keeps filling with cigarette smoke. And so she went to the landlord, the real estate company that runs the building, and said, hey, you know, this isn't going to work. And they said, well, you know, it's kind of an honor system, really, if you think about it. What do you want from us? She said, I'd like the smoking to stop, please. So she went and sought a lawyer and said, there's got to be more than them just kind of blowing me off, so to speak. So, Denise, it's your turn to say whether this is a case or no case, and if so, how it works out.
Okay, so I can't see that it's an enforcement of an ordinance because it's not citywide, you know, or borough-wide, whatever. And I think it's the literally just rules of a building that is like an honor system. There could be a homeowners association, but you had mentioned that there was a landlord, so probably not a homeowners association.
I should probably have said the company that runs the building, because I do not know whether it's a rent or purchase.
Okay, got it.
I apologize.
But it could be a nuisance, too. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of all these different things, and you could seek injunctive relief, have her be forced to stop, or money damages, or have her removed, perhaps, right? But this is what I see. I see Cal sitting down and looking up something and seeing this scenario and then making up a story around the scenario.
That makes complete sense.
And I'm going to say that it is no case.
She knows him too well. Yeah,
well, you know, Denise, I'm really glad you came up with that because I can see where you would think that I would try to deviously come up with such a case. However, here's the answer to that. I'm so sorry. It is, in fact, the case.
Another, at least one point pour moi.
Yeah, and here's the situation. It was, in fact, the real estate company that went in to sue. Outcome of the case not yet known. This is a current event. So the outcome of the case not yet known, which is why I wanted your opinion, but that's it. It is a case. I'm going to give award 2 points. Because
2 points.
Next time, though, if I have a binary case, I'm going to either add to or take off to if you get it wrong. So next time I'm taking you to New York again.
Hey, cases don't always have to be binary, okay?
Yeah.
We can have non-binary cases.
I'm just saying. One or a zero. Case or no case. But that is case or no case. Now back to the show. Here, Todd and Denise.
You know, I'm thinking about that case, and Denise raises a couple of points, a couple of issues with that. You know, another one is if it's a zoning ordinance, if there's a code enforcement, like this building, and they have to have a certain number of non-smoking buildings, or if there's nothing, but the property ownership rented out the building to other people under the guarantee or promise that this is a non-smoking building. But one of two things happens. Either the tenants would have a breach of contract claim against the homeowner or the building management because, hey, we rented with the idea.
Hello.
We want the benefit for our bargain. Or the property management company would have a claim against the tenant who continues to smoke for breach of contract because you were rented to with the idea that this be a no smoking. And so, wow.
And the monthly charge in this particular building is upwards of $3,000.
That's just amazing.
Rent, you know, and you would think, can I not go into my own home and not have cigarette smoke if that's the kind of building I think I'm getting? So I totally get where people would be very miffed about that.
I would.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't real estate just amazing?
Oh.
The difference in prices. I'll give you a quick example. I realize this is anecdotal. Radio anecdotal talk here.
Hold on just a second. Hold on. Now, wait.
That is anecdotal.
Yes, if I was still married and, you know, at the age where I was having kids, I think I'd want to name one of my kids Anecdotal Cunin, and it would just be close to that. But in 2006, I was married. We sold our home in California. We moved to Northeast Tennessee. Now, the house that we lived in California was about a 1,500-square-foot house sat on maybe a tenth of an acre. And if we had gotten cash and didn't have to pay off a loan and got cash for that house and were able to take the whole amount and purchase a home in Northeast Tennessee for the exact same amount, we could have purchased a home that was 4,000 square feet on 10 acres with a barn.
Wow.
And just amazing, the buying power.
You would have lived like kings.
Yes, we would have lived like kings. And, and I would still be single at this point in my life. One of my favorite shows growing up was The Simpsons. Well, okay, all right, not growing up. One of my favorite shows when I was in college was The Simpsons. The Simpsons debuted on the, was it the Tracy Ullman Show back in 1989? Right. And then Fox was a fledgling network back in the late 80s, and that became Fox's mainstay back then. I was living in Japan for a couple of years. I came back to Fox being there. In Japan, primetime animated shows were all the rage in the late 80s. You never saw that here, and then The Simpsons came along, and that introduced primetime animated television. And one of the composer for 25 years of The Simpsons was an individual named Alf Clawson, not to be confused with Danny Elfman, who wrote the intro to The Simpsons. Okay, Danny Elfman, for those of you that pop culture from the 80s and 90s, lead singer for Oingo Boingo. And Danny Elfman was also the one who wrote the theme for the very first Batman movie back in the late 80s. And he's the one that did the Simpsons intro. He's exactly. Danny Elfman has a lot of credits for Hollywood scores. This isn't the person we're talking about. We're talking about Alf Clawson. And what happened with him, we'll talk about that. It's not all, folks. We'll talk about that when we come back after the break. But a little trouble in paradise there between Mr. Clawson and The Simpsons. A employment divorce, if you will. We'll talk about that when we come back here on Radio Law Talk.
And when there's that much money flying around, it's never pretty.
Nope.
So we'll talk about that and more coming up next right here on Radio Law Talk. All you have to do is stay there on your favorite station or on RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be right back.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more,
if you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As states continue to slowly and safely reopen, at least 31 states are beginning to reopen, and Americans are beginning to see a patchwork of approaches working across the country. One state that is still pumping the brakes on reopening is Maryland. Maryland's still seeing an influx in COVID-19 cases, and according to Maryland Democratic Senator Ben Cardin, it's the right move for his state.
Well, Neil, I think the governor is following the best advice he can from our public health officials, so I support the governor's decision.
Many restaurants are only opening at 25 or 50% capacity, and when it comes to that, John Taffer of Bar Rescue reminds everyone on Fox News.
25% is a big difference from 50%. You know, restaurants have fixed costs, rent, insurance, various fixed costs that aren't revenue-based.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your cake.
This is Radio Law Talk. And now, back to the show.
That has to be one of my favorite sound bites. The if you take my fee, I'll take your case. It ranks right up there.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case.
I wish we'd gotten them to say something like, reasonable doubt for a reasonable fee.
Are you serious?
That's hilarious. Yeah, we'll get back to The Simpsons, but just got a breaking news story sent to us by our crack research staff on the issue of real estate. Because she is a giver. Because she is a giver, Vanna White of Wheel of Fortune fame has decided to make her Sherman Oaks property available for lease. Now, people have fallen on hard times. And yet when somebody does something like this, it is amazing. And the cost, apparently, it's a pretty low-cost lease, isn't it, Cal?
Yeah, but compared. But the kindness, the milk of human kindness that pours out of people in difficult times like the COVID crisis is amazing.
I'm sure that when people looked at Vanna White, the first thing they think is the milk of human kindness.
Yes.
So, yes, this property.
Sicko.
Memories like the corners of my mind.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so the property is being leased out for a low, affordable $20,000 a month. And
wow.
$20,000 a month? Are you kidding
me? Well, it's in Hollywood.
Well, yeah, I know. Look, Denise and I were talking about this, and clearly, I mean, $20,000 a month, that's like, what, 5% of the salary we get to do Radio Law Talk on a weekly basis?
I was thinking of trying to get it for a studio.
Really. Well, you know, the getaway pad.
Right.
You know, that's...
Fly down there every weekend, do the show, hang out, come home. You know, why not?
So there you have it. Vanna White, the milk of human kindness, $20,000 a month.
Wow.
Excellent.
Wow.
So back to The Simpsons, speaking of Hollywood. I'm getting the look again. I am so glad that that Denise's shooting of looks toward me, it's not loaded, okay?
Speaking of kindness. Yes.
She's shooting me dirty looks, but she didn't pass the background check to buy the ammo for those, so I'm safe. I'm safe.
That's true.
All right. Alf Clausen, longtime composer for The Simpsons. What happened was recently, back in 2016, 17, somewhere along in there, it was announced that he was not returning to the show after 27 years on the show. In 27 years and nearly two dozen Emmy nominations for his work. Cal, when I read two dozen Emmy nominations...
I am feeling this pain, man.
I thought of you because it didn't say Emmy wins at all, but... This part is composed by Danny Elfman.
Oh, wrong.
Now, there's something really interesting about Danny Elfman. Listen to the back and forth of the bass line. Bum, 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 bum. That distance between notes there, the way they're going back and forth, that's a Danny Elfman trademark. You can hear it in almost everything he does. It's big in the Batman movies.
One-fourth intervals, yeah.
Yes. But that's Danny Elfman. Clausen is the one that did all of the other music throughout the rest of the show.
Oh.
And so he would do that, and he was let go. And recently... he has sued Disney and Fox, claiming that his termination, and I'm using that in quotation marks, air radio quotation marks, that his termination was age discrimination because he was 79 years old at the time he was released, and apparently also beginning to feel the effects of Parkinson's disease.
That's right.
And so this lawsuit came out, and what happens when the lawsuits start? They start to do depositions, and the real story, or the defense's story, starts to come out. And what happened here was that in the course of his arranging music most recently, it was discovered by the showrunners for The Simpsons that Alf Clausen was actually delegating the duties of composing the music to other people, to his family members, to his son. And that is in contravention of the contract he had with Fox.
That was my question. What's wrong with that? Because if you buy an Andy Warhol painting that was done supposedly by him in New York, he just wandered around the studio and supervised student artists who were painting his stuff for him. I mean, that's not unusual.
But if people know that and know that's what they are getting, then they understand. It's like buying books. And sometimes there's books by authors, and it's written by a ghost author, but the actual author looked at it and said, okay, that's basically how I write.
Like the Jerry Rice memoir that I got.
Sure. But in this case here, the contract, and it's important to understand that it's a contract because this is a defense that the Fox Studios are using. It is that Clausen was not an employee of Fox, of The Simpsons. Clausen was an independent contractor, like all composers are. He was free to go and do work for other people. He could do things now. I don't know how that would pass muster under the recent Prop 5 that occurred last year, the January of this year, that changed the default in California that all people are default employees unless they can prove otherwise.
Yeah, AB or Senate bill, it wasn't a prop. People didn't vote on this.
Regardless,
it was first the Supreme Court.
Yes,
made that.
That's right. It was AB5. And this is all California, but, you know, because we're all weird out here.
I just wanted to make it clear that people in the state did not vote for this.
That's right. And this is the law that is gutting or could gut all of the gig industry like Uber and Lyft and all these people that want to do, you know, pay for play kind of stuff. So I don't know how it would pass muster under that. The problem is for Alf Clausen is this cause of action arises under the status of the law that existed when he was terminated or when the contract ended a couple of years ago before that law came out. And so the defense for Disney is, wait a minute, we hired you when you were 48 years old. Denise, do you know why that's a defense to an age discrimination claim?
Because he was older.
Exactly. Age discrimination applies. Essentially, the cutoff is the age of 40. So people that have age discrimination claims have them if they can prove or allege that they were discriminated against because they were old, i.e. older than 40. And the defense here is, if we were going to discriminate you because you were over 40, we wouldn't have hired you at the age of 48. And so that is a defense. The other is, you're not an employee. These don't apply in independent contractor cases. This should not apply here. And then the last defense that there, or one of the other defenses that Disney has brought up, is this anti-SLAPP defense. SLAPP, S-L-A-P-P, which stands for Strategic Lawsuit Against Public Participation. And these come up when the defense says, hold on, you're suing me. Disney would, or Fox, Disney, it's all subsidiary there.
Conglomeration.
Yeah, it's the empire. They're saying, look, exactly, these aren't the droids you're looking for. Actually, I just did Darth Vader. I have totally blown that, live long and prosper. Oh, great, now I brought Star Trek into it. So, with this here, the argument on behalf of Fox would be, well, wait a second. This is a TV show. This is protected under our First Amendment rights. We have the right to engage and have who we want, make whatever music we want. This lawsuit would chill our First Amendment rights. And in California, if they can prevail on that, the lawsuit can be gutted, can be tossed. It's at the beginning now. We'll see what happens. But that's what's going on in Tinseltown with the Simpsons. Denise, we're going to stay in Tinseltown when we come back to that. But we're also going to talk about women's soccer. Let's get us a tease about what we're going to talk about when we come back for the break. What's up?
Well, there's a... I think the lawsuit has almost been gutted.
Yep.
The women's soccer team, if you remember, we talked about this several months ago, and they're alleging that they're being discriminated against, mainly because they're women, and they're not being paid in the same manner as the men's team. And there's been a lot of talk back and forth about whether or not they really are as competitive as the men's team, and whether or not they bring in the same crowds as the men's team, and, you know, all this stuff is kind of crowding the issue, if you will. That underlines the fact that they feel like they are being treated disparity.
Disparate treatment. This was Megan Rapinoe was the one that was the big thrust behind this.
Right, and she just really spoke out inappropriately, and I don't know that she helped the case all that much.
But there's a decision that just came down that's going to affect the case going forward.
That's right.
And we come back after our, I can't believe we're a third, or we're three quarters of the way through the first hour.
And to Megan's credit, she spoke with our governor in California, because she's from up in the north state where I am, and she said, you know, things are different for people up there than they are in the very populated counties when it comes to the COVID. You might want to consider backing off. Pretty interesting stuff. We won't talk about that. I just gave you that whole story. But there is more stuff regarding women's soccer and the courts after this on Radio Law Talk with Todd Kunin and Denise Dirks. Don't go away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
At Ticket Chuckle.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life.
life. From germ zapping hand sanitizer to immune building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids. 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30 count bottle of immune booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Radio Law Talk. Now back to the show.
So we're talking about the lawsuit against brought by the women's national soccer team. And look, let's face it. I mean, they won the Women's World Cup, didn't they?
Yes, of course they did.
So they won the Women's World Cup, and their claim has been, look, we win more than the men's team does. How come we're not paid the same way? That was basically what was pushed out there when the lawsuit started. It's gender discrimination, wage discrimination. We're not being paid the same as the men. And the lawsuit got started, and lawsuits go through various things. And at some point in time, Denise, parties file a motion called summary judgment. Can you explain what that is, really?
Right. That's where there's no dispute as to any material fact that underlies their cause of action. And that the judge then makes a ruling based upon law as it applies to these facts.
And essentially that motion takes place after discovery. There have been depositions, and you've had documents and interrogatories, and all this stuff goes back and forth, and both parties say, okay, essentially we have a lay of the land about the facts that we're all dealing with. This is what we're looking at, and judge, if these are the facts, this cause of action does or does not apply.
So they file a motion. That usually it's a defensive motion.
Mm-hmm.
They file the motion, and it is supported by declarations and or affidavits. And that sets the stage for the factual basis on all the claims.
And that gives the judge something to look at from an evidentiary standpoint as opposed to making a decision based on what the lawyers say, right?
That's right. And under this case, they had actually filed two different theories, if you will. They sued against the U.S. Soccer, saying they violated the Equal Pay Act by paying them less than the men.
Yes.
And then they sued under the federal the federation. They sued the federation, saying that they discriminated against them under the Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, specifically with regard to workplace conditions.
Okay, so essentially the two issues here are, on one hand, we're not being paid the same, that's discrimination. And on the other hand, in addition to that, we've got workplace issues about that are separate from pay that are going on in the workplace.
Right, and gender-based.
Okay. There's charter planes. The men get a charter plane, we don't. That's unfair. Why should they have a charter plane? The women think that's unfair that the men should fly in a charter plane and the women do not. And it was that sort of thing. But the charter plane was apparently a big deal to them. They were really, you know, quite, shall we say, concerned about that.
Okay. And the funny thing is this motion for summary judgment really impacted the first line of the suit, if you will, the Equal Pay Act.
So this would have been brought by the defendant in the suit, essentially going to the judge saying, all right, after looking at all the facts as we see them and everything, there is no cause of action here. We shouldn't be liable for this discrimination in pay because of this. And what did the judge say?
The judge said there's no tribal issue of fact that the women's national team were paid less than the men's national team.
They were there's no tribal. Now, it's interesting the way you said that, because clearly the women were paid less than the men's team, but it's not an issue that could be decided from a jury, and there's nothing that the defendants did wrong in that the court is saying. And why did the court say, yeah, they're being paid differently, but...
Well, because it was a contractual issue.
That's
it,
right.
Comes down to...
And because they got paid more per game? I mean, there was a per-game pay issue in there somehow.
Well,
reading that, trying to figure out, what's the judge saying here?
So the issue here comes down to collective bargaining.
Yeah.
Okay? And you've heard of people that have unions, you know, and when you go in, your union negotiates for your wages, your hours, your working conditions on your behalf. And once the union comes back to you with a deal, it's like, okay, this is what we negotiated for, then the membership signs off on it, says, okay, we will agree to that. And in the course of discovery, the judge pointed out in the judge's opinion, in the course of discovery, it was shown that at one point in time, the women, during the collective bargaining phase, were offered to be paid similar to the men. And they rejected that.
That's what it was.
They rejected that because in exchange for being paid similar to the men being paid on a pay-for-play thing, the women opted for more consistent pay at a lower rate.
Per game.
But it allowed them to receive more consistent income over time, as opposed to only being paid based upon whether the team won or per game or how far they make it into a tournament. And the judge said, look, if this was a provision that you agreed to, and if you had rejected the provision that you're now suing to try to get, that can't happen. You can't sue for something that you had the opportunity to take and you rejected in favor of something else.
And the men's team gets kind of bonuses, if you will, for how far they go.
Exactly.
Right? So if they win the whole tournament, they're going to get more money. They're going to get paid more. The women opted to have more consistent per-game money, and they actually make the team itself, the women's team, made $220,747 per game, where the men were only making and averaging $212,639 per game.
Yeah, so the judge said you're getting more per game. What's the problem?
That's right. And they're not looking at individuals here. They're looking at team.
Right, because that number you mentioned is the aggregate for the whole team that they split up amongst themselves according to their contract.
That's correct.
Right. Exactly. I'll be interested to see how the other part, now the second part of the lawsuit about working conditions, and this is the charter plane issue that Cal talked about, and essentially, you know, why did the guys get this plane and we have that kind of a plane, and now, to me,
Cessna twin engine.
Exactly. To me, I see that falling under the same collective bargaining agreement, because let's remember something. When a union argues or bargains on your behalf, it's not just wages. Under the National Labor Relations Act, it's been around since 1937, right? Unions negotiate on behalf of the bargaining unit for wages, hours, and working conditions. And working conditions is something that's been construed very broadly, and it covers what it's like when you go to work, what you have to deal with when you're at work, and I find it hard to believe.
And work rules, too.
Exactly. I find it hard to believe that charter planes and things like that were not included. Now, if it comes out that charter planes were a perk that was not particularly specifically bargained for, just something that the Federation decided to bestow upon the men's team, well, then they've got an issue there. But I don't see why that can't be something that is brought up in the negotiation process as opposed to a lawsuit. Because once your collective bargaining agreement expires, and they don't go longer than 4 or 5 years, 7 years, and, you know, sometimes there's really long ones. Back when I was doing employment and labor, there was a cap at 7. When they expire, you come back to the bargaining table and bargain for the things you felt like you missed out on.
Plus, many contracts have a paragraph in them called a reopener, where there are certain conditions under which you can come and see, even though the agreement has not expired, we'd like to reopen and talk about this specific section. It might be raises, it might be working conditions, it depends. I've only negotiated this a couple of times, but that's usually, I mean, there is in many contracts that provision, a reopener.
Yeah, well, so we'll see what happens. You know, but we'll see where things go forward, because what happens after a motion for summary judgment, that's when settlements take place. Because, I mean, people are hesitant to settle before the summary judgment because they're thinking, well, why would I settle with you if I think I have a good shot at getting this punted, right? After the summary judgment, when you find out what's still left on the table, what has survived after the settlement dust, after the summary judgment dust has settled, that's when you start talking about how you're going to resolve the case shy of going to a trial, and we'll see if that happens. I bet that it does.
I feel like it will, too.
Yeah.
Even though to me, there was a disconnect, I think, between the lawsuit itself and what the women were trying to accomplish. To me, that's just what I see, is that there just was a disconnect. And probably it has to do with the difference between dealing with it in a legal setting versus dealing with it in a collective bargaining setting.
And then the other thing that I think there is, there may have been a lot of public support for the women's position.
Because
however,
they won.
However, then a pandemic hit and people are struggling to feed their families. I don't know how much support people get at this point where it's like, but wait a second. It's the difference between feeding a family and then you're wanting $100,000 or $500,000.
Yeah.
I think this is right to settle.
That's a good point. And when I said I negotiated, I meant as a, representing an employer, not as a legal beagle justice guy representing an employer. So that's the only reason I knew that. I have nothing else. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.